Thank you, Jim, for that song. I know it's more than a song, it's a testimony. Because Jim's father just went to be with Jesus recently, and Joy's here, and Felix. And so you guys just went through a valley. But the God down the mountain is still a God in the valley. So praise the Lord for that song and that testimony. Amen. Well, with some of the songs we sang today, you'd think it was Easter Sunday or something, wouldn't you? You know, I had somebody the other day talk to me, a family member, and said, "What are you preaching on?" I told them, they said, "Aren't you all off on the calendar?" You know, and I said, "No, I'm just preaching through the Gospel of Luke, and that's where we are." So, you know, I think you can talk about the resurrection of Jesus about any time, don't you think? It's pretty important. You know, I've been watching a little bit of volleyball lately. I have a real good friend that's, his daughter was on the United States Olympic volleyball team for the women's team, and they won the gold medal, by the way. It was pretty cool. And so we watched that, and my granddaughter plays high school volleyball, so we go watch her. And one thing I learned about volleyball players, they celebrate all the time. They're always celebrating. Have you noticed that? Always. They get a good serve, they celebrate. They get a good dig, they celebrate. They get a point, they celebrate. The other team messes up, they celebrate. I mean, they celebrate all the time. It's always celebration. And I like it. It's kind of contagious. And I'm thinking about, when you talk about Jesus Christ raising from the dead, that is a reason for celebration. A celebration that we should live out. Not just one time a year on Easter that we celebrate. We should live a life of celebration. We serve a risen Savior like we just sang about in the song we sang a little bit ago. Praise the Lord. So we're going to pick up the story in Luke's Gospel, beginning in verse 23 or verse 50. Just to set the scene, right before this, Jesus has just died on the cross. That momentous event where Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And there we pick up the story. Stand as we read God's word this morning. It says, "Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. They went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day be raised again.' Then he remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others were with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense to them. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this tremendous story that gives us great reason to celebrate today. And I pray today that you'll speak to us through this very familiar story that is so powerful and so meaningful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, it was a custom when people were crucified on a cross that once they died, the bodies were taken down and thrown into a common grave, sometimes just the city dump. No respect given for the person who died, just dispose of the body. But in this case, in the scripture, there was a man named Joseph of Arimathea who was a religious leader, and he is going to go and asked for the body of Jesus. He had been, along with his friend Nicodemus, another religious leader, you'd call them hidden disciples. They were secret followers of Jesus. But that's going to all change here when they do what they did in this story. These hidden disciples are going to go public. For whatever reason, they had followed Jesus, but they had kept it quiet. They didn't want any of their friends to know or their colleagues to know. But now they're going to be go public with their faith in Jesus by what they're going to do. What they do is going to take great courage. They're going to go to the governor Pilate and ask for the body of Jesus. Now think about it. Pilate had a rough day. He wasn't thinking very kindly about religious Jewish leaders at this moment. He felt like he'd been cornered and trapped in a place where he had to crucify Jesus, and he did it. And now two more religious leaders are going to show up asking for a favor to have the body of Jesus. I just have a hunch he's not in a very good mood. So to go to Pilate is going to take great courage. They're going to do it, though. They're going to do this uncomfortable task. And in doing it, they're going to become very public with their faith in Christ. Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." So these guys had been in danger before, being a secret follower of Jesus, but now they're going to make it public. They're going to come open of their faith in Christ. In doing this, they also risked rejection. They were a part of the most powerful religious council in Israel, the Sanhedrin. What are their fellow members going to think about them? They're probably going to be rejected. They're probably going to be ostracized. They might even suffer financial loss from this. They might even be harmed. We don't know. This is really taking a great risk when they went and asked for the body of Jesus. But to their credit, they did it. They didn't just think about it. They didn't just talk about it. They took action. They did it. They went to Pilate. They got permission somehow for Pilate to give them the body of Jesus. They went to the soldiers, which would again be kind of a daunting task to go up to the soldiers and ask for the body of Jesus. And they took the body of Jesus down and quickly prepared his body for burial. Now, it's kind of sad to think about it, but the body of Jesus is going to be in rough shape at this moment. He's been beaten. He's been flogged. He's been crucified. He's been stabbed with the spear. He's been bleeding. I mean, his body's a mess. They lovingly take his body down, clean it up, wrap it in a linen cloth, put some spices in there, which is how they did it in that day. They didn't embalm bodies. They put spices in the cloth. And they took his body to a nearby tomb and laid it in the tomb. Now, they had to do this quickly because Sabbath is coming. At sundown on Friday night, the Sabbath starts, and it's a Passover. Can't work during the Sabbath, so they had to do it quickly. They took Jesus' body and placed it in that tomb. That was Friday night. Jesus' body laid in that tomb on Friday night, all day Saturday, Sunday morning, when he was raised back to life. The Jewish people counted any part of a day as a day, so 3 days he was in that tomb and raised back to life. The loyal disciples go to visit the tomb. Early Sunday morning, the third day, a group of ladies go to the tomb. They're going to finish the job that the men were unable to complete on Friday night. So the women go to finish the job that the men didn't finish. And the women can say amen right there. It's okay. Part of this group, Mary Magdalene, who was one of the faithful followers of Jesus, Johanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women, early in the morning, this is the first time they could go, by the way. You had to wait till the next morning after the Sabbath for the go. First time they could go, they're coming to pay respect to the one that they'd followed. They had absolutely no expectation that Jesus was alive. That's the last thing they were expecting. They were going to go find a dead body and put some more spices on his body and wrapped around him, finish the job. So they had no hope when they came. These ladies, these loyal ladies, had been witnesses of Jesus' death. They were there when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Luke 23 says, all who those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. They were there. They saw Jesus tortured and crucified, and he died. That makes them pretty powerful witnesses for his resurrection, because they saw him die, and now they see him alive. They've seen both. They would become great witnesses. They also witnessed his burial. They followed Joseph and Nicodemus when they took the body down and followed him to the tomb. They saw that the men hadn't probably finished the whole job. They saw exactly where Jesus was buried. They saw them put the dead body of Jesus in that tomb, exactly where he went in the tomb. And the women left the tomb after that, after they saw where Jesus was buried. A stone was rolled over the entrance. The Jewish leaders, we know from the scripture, went to Pilate and said, we need to put a guard at the tomb because I'm afraid the disciples are going to steal the body and proclaim Jesus is risen from the dead. So Pilate does that. He sends some guards, seals the tomb, sends guards to stay there for 3 days. What a boring assignment, right? The most boring assignment in the world, to guard a tomb that has got a dead guy in there. I mean, nothing's going to happen, right? But they're going to be quite surprised, because the morning of the third day, there was this angel that came down from heaven in all of his splendor, rolled the stone away and sat on it. And it says in the other gospel accounts that the guards, these seasoned Roman soldiers, were so afraid, they were like dead men. And they booked it out of there. They were afraid by these angels that came, the angel that came. So when the women came to the tomb, they're not expecting what they would find. They were witnesses of the empty tomb. When they go to the tomb, there's no soldiers there. There's no tomb sealed up. The tomb is empty and open. The stone's rolled away, and the tomb is empty. They go inside the tomb, and there's no body. They saw the body of Jesus be carried in there. There's no body. There's just the grave clothes left behind, and Jesus is gone. Now, imagine the shock of that for a moment. Put yourself in their shoes for a minute. Let's say you go to the funeral service of a loved one, and you go to the graveside, and there's a casket there. And after you leave the graveside service, they lower the casket into the ground, they cover it up with dirt and sod, and you leave and go. And you go back in a few days to bring flowers to show respect, and when you get there, the grave's completely open, the casket's laying out, the lid's blown off, and the body's gone. That's what they just encountered. They had no expectation that this was going to happen, but Jesus is gone. They would become the very first witnesses to the empty tomb, that Jesus is risen from the dead. As they're in the tomb, two angels show up. Luke says they are two men that shine like lightning. Matthew and Mark tell us they're angels, so we know they're angels. God's powerful messengers. Whenever angels show up in the scripture, it's a big deal. They don't show up for minor things. It's a big deal. And the women are terrified. You know, it was kind of funny. I tried to Google some artist pictures of angels in the tomb, and they're so wimpy. I mean, you know, the pictures that people imagine what angels look like, they don't frighten me at all. But anytime angels showed up in the scripture, people are just scared to death. So these powerful, amazing angels are there. They kind of look like men, except they're glowing like lightning. That's pretty weird. They're afraid, and these angels have a message. They're going to teach the ladies for a little bit. These confused disciples are going to be taught by the angels. I can imagine these angels are pretty excited about bringing this good news about Jesus risen from the dead. The first thing they did, the ladies were rebuked for seeking a dear dead friend. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? To the angels, they knew the truth. They knew Jesus was alive. The women didn't know that yet. And I think the ladies, even though they're getting a bit of rebuke here from the angels, I think the angels are smiling. This is amazing news. Jesus is alive. This gives them great hope. They were given the great news of the risen Savior. The angel said, He is not here. He has risen. This amazing truth that Jesus is alive. The one they saw crucified, the one they saw carried into the tomb, is alive. Do you understand? The news of the risen Savior is the best news in the world. The whole gospel rests on this fact. Through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, he's declared to be the Son of God. Through his resurrection from the dead, sin and death have been defeated. Because of his resurrection from the dead, we can have eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. He went ahead for us, preparing the way to have life. One of the trips that I went to Israel on, I got to go to, with several of the men that were on the trip, we got to go to an Israeli army base where they trained their soldiers. And it was very fascinating. One of the places that they took us to was an underground tunnel complex that they had built because a lot of the terrorists that try to attack Israel come through tunnels. So they have to learn how to fight in tunnels. So there's a tunnel complex, and they learn to train. They train in those tunnels. And so they invited us down into the tunnels. I lasted about 10 seconds. I went down for a few minutes, but the tunnels are only about 5 feet high, so I couldn't stand up tall, I mean straight. And they're narrow and tight, and I'm a little bit claustrophobic anyway. And so I just told the group, I'll meet you at the other end on top. And I waited outside. I wimped out, I confess. The rest of them went through. But I was just thinking about that. Jesus did that for us. He went through the tunnel of death for us and completely cleared the way, cleared the enemies out of the way so we don't need to fear it and we can go through it in confidence in Jesus. Amen. He was the pioneer. He defeated sin and death for us. So we don't need to fear death. Romans 1:4 says Jesus, it's talking about Jesus, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The ladies then were reminded of Jesus' promise. You see, they reminded the ladies, remember what he told you? Do you remember? Obviously they didn't, but he's trying to jog their memory. Do you remember what he told you? Jesus told them so many times ahead of time. Here's one of those times. In Matthew 16, he said, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. He warned them and told them many times, but they didn't get it. The ladies didn't get it. But now when the angel said, do you remember? They remembered. And they had faith that it was true. That Jesus really did raise from the dead like he said. So they began to take off, running to tell the disciples. Now, it isn't in Luke's gospel, but in Matthew's gospel, it tells us on the way, some of them encounter the living Christ. They say Jesus is alive. They were changed people because of that fact. So these excited disciples become witnesses. They're going to tell the 11 disciples who are all together, afraid, locked in a room, so to speak, that Jesus Christ is alive. Can you imagine the change from when they walked to the tomb? Downcast, sad. Now they're excited, they're laughing, they're jumping, they're running, they're excited, Jesus is alive. These women become the first witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's really interesting because in the Jewish culture, the Jewish people really didn't highly respect women. So women's testimonies were considered very important. Sorry, ladies, back then. So if they'd have made up this story, they would never have said that the first witnesses were women. But they were. The first witnesses were women. These excited disciples, these women became the first witnesses. They ran to the 11 disciples and they told them what they'd seen and heard. That's what witnesses do. You simply tell what you've seen and heard. And they told them that they got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, there were angels in there. Here's what the angels told us, that Jesus is alive. And on the way back, we met the risen Christ. Amazing news. Witnesses. We're all called to be witnesses. Acts 22 says, you will be his witness to all men of what you'd seen and heard. That was a commission given to the Apostle Paul. But it's really for all of us to be witnesses. When the disciples heard this amazing story, they were overjoyed. No, they initially rejected the resurrection story. Isn't that interesting? They rejected it. They thought that what the women said was nonsense. Now think about it for a moment. We have to give these guys a little bit of slack, I think. When you've heard of something that's an amazing miracle, is your first reaction to believe it? Or do you say, I wonder if that really happened? I confess I've done that sometimes when I've heard a miracle. It takes me a little bit of time to really believe it. At first I go, it's not supposed to happen like that. So these guys are processing this. At first they don't believe it. It doesn't make sense because, in case you didn't know, people don't come back from the dead. Doesn't happen. Now, Jesus raised from people from the dead, but it doesn't happen. You don't go 3 days in a tomb and come out. It doesn't happen. It's impossible, right? It's a miracle, and Jesus did it. He was raised from the dead, and they're struggling to believe it. Now, they will come to believe it. It's really kind of evidence for us of that this story is true, because they were slow to believe. They wanted to be sure. They wanted to be absolutely sure. And they came to a place where they were. And they would become witnesses of this truth as well. Now, when they heard this, Peter checks out the evidence. He takes off. Peter's he's very active. He wants to go, and he goes. And we know from John's gospel that both John and Peter run to the tomb. John gets there first, looks in. Peter goes to the tomb and just runs right in. And he finds it exactly like the ladies said, it was empty. It was empty. And he's going away wondering, what happened? He's wondering what happened. Peter will come to a place of faith as well in Jesus. He'll meet the resurrected Christ. All the disciples, even though they're hesitant at first, would believe in Jesus as the risen Savior. They all came to believe in Jesus. They would all see him alive. They would all spend time with him. They would eat with him. They would talk with him. They would listen to him after he had risen from the dead in those days and weeks that he was alive on this earth before he ascended up into heaven. They saw the evidence, and they knew and believed through all their heart, with all their hearts, that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. It became their message, the message they took to the whole world. Study the book of Acts. You'll find just about every message is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And they did that. It's the same decision all of us are faced with. There's an amazing amount of evidence. It's not blind faith that you're taking here when you believe in Jesus Christ. There's so much evidence of who Jesus is and that he died for us on the cross. He was raised back to life, and he lives today. But all of us must make our decision to place our faith in Jesus Christ. God won't force us to do that, but he gives us an opportunity to put our faith in Jesus Christ and be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. And confess Jesus as Lord, just like the early disciples did. All the disciples would become witnesses of the risen Savior. One of the great evidences that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true is that the change in these disciples. They were absolutely changed people. They went out and literally changed their world. They went out and preached the good news of Jesus. Even though they were persecuted and beaten and thrown into prison and killed, they never, ever stopped sharing this amazing news of the risen Christ. Acts 4 says, with great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of Lord Jesus. A much grace was upon them all. That was done in a time where there was great, great persecution that was going on. You know, it reminds me, I heard a story just this week, and it seems to be a valid story with all the stuff that's going on in Afghanistan. This report was of an underground church in some part of Afghanistan. The report is that in the last 2 weeks, the church has literally exploded in numbers. You'd think that they would hide and be afraid, but you know what they're doing? They're sharing the good news of Jesus, and the church is multiplied in people that are confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. Isn't that amazing? They're witnesses of what Jesus Christ and what he's done. Praise the Lord for them and what God's doing them. The story of the risen Savior gives us hope. We do not need to fear death. We serve a risen Savior. I like the story of the great British leader, Winston Churchill, when he died. He planned his funeral out ahead of time in exact detail. And he was buried in one of those, I mean, his service was one of those big cathedrals over there. And at the end of the service, way up high in the top of the cathedral, a bugler played taps, which basically means the day is done, end of the day. Then there was a long silence, and a second bugler played reveille. The day is just beginning. Symbolic of the fact that in Christ, death is not the end. Death is not the end. It really is a new beginning when we leave this world and go to the next world. It's a new beginning with Christ because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and through his resurrection from the dead. So we have a lot to celebrate, my friends. It makes all the difference that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And my hope is that everyone here and everyone listening online has put their faith in Jesus Christ, because you need to do that to prepare for that moment when you leave this world and go to the next world. Now is the time to believe in Jesus Christ and to accept him as your Savior. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to sing a song of worship together. I love this song. Again, it's a song we often sing at Easter time. Because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Makes all the difference because Jesus Christ is alive and he's here with us this day. We're going to sing this song as a song of worship. And as we sing, if you need to come pray about anything, the altars are open. You can come and pray. Bring whatever is on your heart to the Lord. Stand. Let's worship the Lord and gather for prayer.